Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, which is amazing because I feel like we just started. But yeah, we're in hour number two right now, heading into the second part of today's Triple Dipper. I call in this section Rolling the Dice, part two. Rolling the dice, because that's what the legislature is doing right now. They are rolling the dice with Alabama's future. They're gambling on gambling once again. And, you know, we're going to talk about it in great detail. But just so you know, yesterday, in the middle of everything else going on with Super Tuesday, and you know, all God's children looking the other direction, the Alabama State Senate's Tourism Committee met, and new legislation popped up and popped out of committee. And it could come to the floor as early as today, although I would be surprised. But somebody who has been neck deep in the issues surrounding gambling, illegal or otherwise, in the state of Alabama is our next guest. Glenn Murdoch is a former justice of Alabama's Supreme Court, served on the court, was first elected in 2006, and served all the way till he retired in 2018. Prior to that, he had been a member of the or a seated justice on the Court of Civil Appeals. He got his undergraduate degree in political science and economics from the University of Alabama, his law degree from University of Virginia School of Law. And we're proud to have him on the air with us right now. Justice Murdoch, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm fine for now. We'll have to see what happens in Montgomery in the next 24 hours. But listen, I'm honored to be on this program with you, Phil. I did not even know about your program until about a week or two ago, and I discovered it. And as I've told several people, this is just a fantastic show with so much knowledge and so much erudition. How about that for a big word? and so much strength behind your messaging. And I'm just grateful that you do what you do and that I get a chance to talk to you.
Well, that's a blessing. Thank you for that. And I appreciate it very much. And well, listen, Justice Murdoch, you have been in the trenches. I mean, so not only on the Court of Civil Appeals, but on the Alabama Supreme Court for all those years. And you were there for a lot of the decisions that related to the illegalities of gambling, of the constant attempts to circumvent the law by bad actors who are still among us now. And I wonder, before I even delve too much into the current legislation and all of that, if you could just give us your sense of the history of where we've been and the fact that some of those people are still trying to work their way through our systems.
Sure. You know, people will remember the electronic bingo battles and Governor Riley. Well, those battles really still are going on. Attorney General Marshall is still carrying that on in a different way and is trying to uphold Alabama law as best he can. The current state and the state of Alabama law forever has been this, Phil. Section 65 of the Alabama Constitution says that gambling is illegal in Alabama. Lottery and games of chance are illegal in all their forms. And for 123 years, the court has taken Section 65 and barred gambling generally. Now, we've got a few local amendments to the Constitution that only apply to local areas and allow paramutual dog and horse track betting in just a handful of counties. And then we have something called these bingo amendments that allow old-fashioned paper bingo in about 16 or 17 other counties, maybe 18. But what happened in the 2010s was that these operators of these in some of these local areas, mostly Black Belt, not entirely, said, you know, it says bingo. We can put bingo graphics on an electronic machine, and we can call that a bingo machine, and we'll say we're playing bingo. When in reality, that is a machine that when you put your money in or you pull the arm or whatever, the machine plays the game for you in a matter of seconds. You don't have to pay attention to a number called at the front of the room.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the first to complete your card and the first to stand up. And so it's just a slot machine. And so the Alabama Supreme Court, to put a final point on this, entered probably, it's either eight or nine, I lose track of so many, decisions over that 10-year period saying that all of these constitutional amendments only cover old-fashioned paper church basement bingo. But the operators kept on and kept on and kept on. And so Governor Riley put together state trooper teams and semi-tractor trailer trucks and went out and conducted forfeiture operations and seized these machines. And they were about to go out of business. He left office, and Governor Bentley came in and said, we're not going to put troopers on the road, or we're not going to rent any more semi-tractor trailer trucks. And that whole forfeiture operation shut down, and these businesses now have been defying state law even more robustly ever since Riley left office, except Marshall's trying to put a tap on it, to his credit. But the problem is he doesn't have the right tools. It's only a misdemeanor, and he doesn't have the resources to go out and do the forfeiture actions. And if the legislature was really serious about getting rid of these operations, it would just increase the penalties from misdemeanors to felonies, and Marshall could put them in out of business quickly. But I don't think that's what the legislature seems to be interested in doing.
No, right now the legislature is interested in money, and they see this as a cash cow. I mean, this is my opinion, Justice Murdoch, but the reality is I don't think that the legislature – well, I say that. I can't brand all of them this way. Those who have supported the legislation currently before the body as we sit here today appear to be just using a variety of straw man arguments, which I know you and I can get into later, but a variety of straw man arguments to justify the fact that what they really want is revenue. And they want to curry favor with the same bad actors you talked about. And by the way, I last I checked, and I'll just go ahead and call it out. I won't ask you to do it, but I think it was GreenTrack. That is, I want to say $23 million behind in their taxes, or at least they were at one point. I mean, so not only do they break our laws to try and circumvent and make money for themselves, then they don't even pay taxes on what they do, some of them. And people have gone to jail. There have been scandal after scandal related to these gambling operations in our state, and yet they still persist, and some of them are still lobbying at the state house for their own benefit, even now.
Yeah, this is, we'll get into this later, but this really is a contest between this whole fight. It's really not a Republican conservative versus Democrat liberal fight. It's a fight over love on one side and greed on the other side. Mm. And love for your fellow man on one side and greed for the money and greed and lust for the power that comes with money. That's we went from surface discussion to pretty deep thought right there, but that's sort of a spoiler alert for the final conclusion of this conversation, if you ask me.
Well, and I agree with you. And in a minute, I want to break down some of that new legislation that we just saw come out of the Senate committee yesterday. But I'll be honest with you, there's no telling. I don't know if we could even factor it up, is how much legislative time has been wasted on gambling legislation time and time again. I was down there for 8 years. Hey, I saw it over and over again.
Yeah, Phil, you're exactly right. It's as if this year they're saying this is the most important thing that we have to do. Really? This is the most important thing?
Yeah.
You know, this is and you mentioned it a moment ago, tax revenue. One of the first things you hear is we need the tax revenue. Well, your listeners in Huntsville know how great industry has been moving into Alabama like crazy over the last 10 years. Yeah. Mazda, Toyota, the Redstone Arsenal. Our education budget, our total budgets have doubled in Alabama, almost doubled, 81% increase in the last 10 years. As we sit here today talking on this radio show, our education budget for 2024, based on projected revenues, is a record $537 million above last year's budget, which itself was a record over the prior year.
Yeah.
And the general fund budget is this year, this fiscal year, a projected $275 million record over last year's general fund budget. The Legislative Service Agency says that at the end of 2024, we'll have a balance in these two budgets of $2 billion.
Wow.
This is not the time to consider giving up who we are as a state and transforming our culture into a gambling culture for a few hundred million dollars more. of money. This is we don't need that money. That just strikes me as a totally false argument.
Well, I tell you what, sir, let's do this. I'm going to take my break about 30 seconds earlier than usual right now so that you and I can come back and have some sort of maximum available time. I want to break down the legislation that is coming out currently. Tell me what you're hearing in the State House while you're I think you're down there right now, if I'm not mistaken. Let's also talk into how does this really impact things with operations that are currently here covered by federal law, being the Indian gaming laws. If you can hang on during the break, sir, we'll cut that break and come right back. Is that all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll do it. We're with former Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch talking about rolling the dice on Alabama's future. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, listen, we're going to go right back now to the phones. We've got an honored guest here with us today, former Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama, Justice Glenn Murdoch, who spent 6 years on the Court of Civil Appeals, I believe 11 years on the Supreme Court, has seen it all when it comes to gambling, wrote a great white paper that I just read earlier that deals with some of the things being proposed right now in the legislature that might actually just create massive expansion of gaming by the Porch Creek Indians, if nothing else. Listen, Justice Murdoch, thanks for joining us. And hey, on this legislation we have today, the bill that came out of Senate committee yesterday, it did change quite a bit. They dropped the sports betting completely. They've dropped the non-Indian casino gaming off altogether. And now they're looking for a lottery plus a compact with the Porch Creeks. Everybody understands what lottery is, but I don't think anybody understands what the Porch Creek compact would be. And I wonder if you could break down this legislation, what you know about it, and then what a compact would look sure. like and how that works.
Sure, sure. Well, just as a real quick predicate, I've always said that I've had the blessing of speaking to some groups around the country, and I've always told them I'm so grateful that I grew up and can raise my family in Alabama because it's just a great place to live and work and raise our families and to worship. It's a culture characterized by people who have traditional values and people of faith, and that's what makes it a great environment and culture to live and work. And this bill that's coming out now, really no less so than the even more radical bill that passed the House last week, really would change Alabama's culture in a dramatic way. Just to reset what we said a minute ago, the only thing that's legal in Alabama right now are the dog and horse track, and I don't even know if they're actually racing any live animals at Mobile or Birmingham for that matter, but that would be legal if they did. And then secondly, the old-fashioned paper bingo. Now, some of these operators are defying that, and they still have electronic games, and the Indian tribes are claiming that bingo includes electronic games, but federal law clearly denies them the right to use electromechanical facsimiles of bingo games. So the only thing that's legal now is old-fashioned paper bingo and these dog and horse tracks. What this bill would do would create more different forms of gambling than even the state of Nevada has. After this bill is over, we would have Indian casinos. We would have a lottery, which Nevada doesn't have. The Indian casinos would be full-on Vegas-style casinos. There are zero such casinos in Alabama right now. It would grandfather in all these illegal operations in some of these counties that have been defying the attorney general and the governor all these years and reward them with a grandfathered-in permanent legality. The lotteries, we can get into that later. I know a lot of people at first blush think that the lottery's okay, but I hope we get a chance to talk to that before the hour's over. But what this bill would do is, and now see, I finally got around to your question. This bill would say to the governor, you must negotiate a compact. Right now, the Indians have three locations. Atmore is their original reservation, Montgomery, and Wetumpka. What this, right now, the governor is really under no obligation to negotiate anything with the Indians in terms of a compact, what they call a compact in federal law, for full-style Vegas operations at any of these locations. There's a little dispute over whether the governor would be obligated to negotiate a compact for Atmore for the same kind of gambling that we have elsewhere in Alabama, which would give them the right to do the pari-mutuel betting at Atmore. But there's a strong argument that the governor doesn't have to give them a compact to do anything at Atmore that the non-Indians in Alabama have the right to do. But there's no obligation to negotiate a compact right now to expand any of the gambling in Montgomery or Wetumpka or to give them any more locations. And here's what this bill would do. It would say to the governor in a constitutional amendment, it would take Section 65's prohibition against all forms of lotteries and games of chance in Alabama, and it would substitute for that a provision that says to the governor, you are mandated to negotiate a compact with the Poarch Creek Indians for full-on Vegas-style casinos at their existing three locations, and if they are successful in getting any other land taken into trust by the Secretary of the Interior, and I know that's a concept we hadn't discussed, but the bottom line is if they can purchase land in Huntsville or Birmingham or Baldwin County, Orange Beach or Foley, and they can convince the Secretary of the Interior, the Department of Interior that oversees Indian affairs in America, to take this land into trust as sort of an annex, even though it's not connected physically, as sort of an annex to their current operations down in Atmore. A remote annex, sort of, if you will. And by the way, the Department of the Interior has almost a 100% rate of granting all these applications to take Indian lands into trust on behalf of Indian tribes throughout America.
And Justice Murdoch, listen, we're hitting a hard break. I've got no choice but to take it right now. I am mindful of your time, but I want you to come back right after this break, and I want to dive right in to that whole thing you just unlocked there. This bill could literally wind up just with the simple stroke of a pen by a bureaucrat in a Biden administration, for that matter, up in D.C., could open the door for things that the people of the state never knew could have been coming, like expansion of major casino gaming. All right, sir, listen, we're going to be right back after this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to go back to our conversation here about rolling the dice with Alabama's future is what I'm calling this section of the Triple Dipper. And listen, for those of y'all that are not aware, a compact, you're hearing that term, you may have heard contract, but a compact is much the same. It's basically an agreement, almost like a treaty between a governor and the Poarch Creek Indians. In this case, that's where it's being used. A compact with the Poarch Creeks is being proposed right now by the state legislature. Putting aside all of the other gambling facilities that wanted to expand, the legislature is trying to refine its purposes, they say, by putting it in one place. The Poarch Creeks, a compact with the governor. Governor, you will compact with the Poarch Creeks and determine the best way forward. However, former Justice of the Supreme Court, Glenn Murdoch, is on the phone with us right now, wrote a white paper talking about how lax the criteria can be under federal regulations for Indian tribal lands to be approved, and which could just wind up just making this thing a complete debacle if we're not careful. Justice Murdoch, thanks again for hanging on the phone, and I appreciate you making time for us today. You just said a moment ago that what we're looking at here, and I'm putting my words to you, what you said, but you're basically saying that this particular piece of legislation could be Pandora's box. If the lax criteria for approval of tribal lands or the expansion thereof, even those that are non-contiguous, is not confined in a compact, that we could wind up seeing the Poarch Creeks having casinos all over the state of Alabama. Am I right?
Yeah, you could have multiple locations in addition to the three locations they already have. And if they're going to have multiple locations and you're on their side of the equation trying to maximize your profits, why wouldn't you purchase land in Huntsville, instead of out in the country? Why wouldn't you seek to get a site in downtown Birmingham instead of the racetrack? Why wouldn't you seek to put one in the land you already own in Baldwin County in Foley at the amusement park they already own? And so, yeah, it certainly could. You know, right, for all these years, Bill, we've had pari-mutuel betting in Alabama. And that is a form of class. The federal law creates something called Class 3 gaming. Class 2 gaming is basically just paper bingo, and that's what the Indians are allowed to have now. But Class 3 law is pari-mutuel betting and the lottery and all Vegas-style casino games. And we've had pari-mutuel betting all these years. But there's never been it's never gone beyond. Well, let me back up. The Indians, the Indian tribe, could say, we want a compact for all forms of Class 3 betting, but we've never entered into that with the Indians. No governor has said to the Indian tribes, well, we have a form of Class 3 gaming called pari-mutuel. I'll enter into a compact negotiation with you to let you have that type of gaming, or maybe all types of gaming. And that's never happened. And the biggest reason that it's never happened is that Section 65 of the current Constitution ties the hands of the governor, because it says all forms of gaming and games of chance are prohibited in Alabama. But what the bill in Montgomery that we're talking about today would do is it would reverse that. It would eliminate the prohibition, and instead, what you just said, it would direct the governor, it would mandate that the governor enter into negotiations and have a compact with the Indian tribe for any land that they hold in trust under federal, that is held in trust by the Secretary of Interior for the benefit of the tribe. And that would include the Atmore land that they have. It would include their Wetumpka site, and it would include their Montgomery site, and it would include any other land that they acquire in the future and that is held in trust. They could go out and acquire land in any of those three urban areas or Baldwin County and say to the Secretary of Interior, we own this land. They already own the Baldwin County land, like I said. We want you to take it into trust, basically annex it as a remote part of our reservation. And at that point, the constitutional amendment being considered in Montgomery would absolutely obligate the governor to enter into a compact to allow not just any gaming, all forms of gaming on that newly acquired land. That means all forms of casino-style gambling.
And that's that is the Pandora's box. I mean, I think right now there are probably going to be some and I hate to say it, but there are friends of mine who still serve in the legislature, and I was always amazed by the ones who didn't bother to read the bill or think through the second and third order effects of the bills. And that would have to be one of the second and third order effects that would happen. If you approve this, you're not just saying, well, guess what? Wetumpka, Atmore, there's going to be a casino, and that's where we're going to stop. You're literally potentially opening up the door for this to become, you know, the I-65 corridor could look like the Vegas Strip. And that's absolutely, you're right. I think you said it earlier, changing the cultural landscape of Alabama would have a dramatic change. Listen, Justice Murdoch, with about 6 minutes left here, I do need to shift gears here with you. And I got to ask you about the piece about the lottery. The lottery is seen as the innocent piece. It's that, you know, it's that little old thing that we're just losing so much revenue because people keep driving across the line to buy their lottery tickets. And oh, woe is me, why don't we have a lottery? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a lottery? Everybody can get rich on their own time. I know you can't legislate morality, but I'm being a little tongue in cheek, but there's a lot more to a lottery, even from the moral sense, than people are taking into account. Well, would you agree?
Yeah, Phil, you know, almost every criminal law we have, and most of our civil law, is based on legislative morality. I mean, murder's immoral. Stealing your neighbor's property is immoral. Public exposure, prostitution, and cocaine are considered bad things that we don't want in our culture. So we try to legislate to minimize those things. And so it's really sort of silly to say law is based on understanding of what is moral and what is not and what is good for our society.
Right.
to begin with. So, you know, when it comes to the lottery in that regard, I bet very few of your listeners have what has been popularly coined white guilt. I have spoken to a group about it, and I said, I think you should call it affluent white guilt. I don't think too many middle and low income Caucasians have white guilt, but I think let's call it what it is, this affluent white guilt. And I doubt many people in your audience have it, but if they know somebody who has it, before they try to reason with them as to why they maybe shouldn't have it, they should first ask their friend that has it, perhaps, how do you feel about this gambling legislation and the lottery? Are you in favor of it? Do you want your senators to pass it? And then if it passes, then I would just leave that person alone because their affluent white guilt will be fully justified. Let me explain what I'm talking about. The Howard Center says that stores that sell lottery tickets are disproportionately located in poor neighborhoods. Billboards that advertise the lottery are disproportionately located in poor neighborhoods. Scratch-off tickets are disproportionately purchased by those who live in low-income areas. And guess what? More of your lottery state revenues come from scratch-off tickets than any other thing, any other part of the lottery. Let me ask your listeners to think about this question. Do they think that more scratch-off tickets and scratch-off ticket revenue will be generated by purchases out of Mountain Brook, Alabama, or out of Inslee and Fairfield, Alabama?
Hmm. Wow. That's significant, yeah.
Yeah. Just think about that. That is not being our brother's keeper. And then there's this. The American Psychiatric Association says that gambling is gambling addiction is just like a substance disorder. It has clinical expression and brain origin and physiology and treatment and comorbidity, just like a substance abuse addiction. In order for a lottery or any game of chance sanctioned by a state to be successful, you have to convince the people who are vulnerable, who are poor, and especially those who have tendencies to addiction to bet. Half of all gambling tax revenues this is a shocking statistic. Half of all gambling revenues come from people who are addicted to gambling. And when you stop and think about that, you think, how is that loving our neighbors ourselves? How is that being our brother's keeper for the state that's supposed to provide a safety net and protect the least among us to encourage people who are desperate financially or who have an addiction to go out and spend money that they would otherwise be spending on milk or bread or a backyard grill or clothes for their family or whatever. And incidentally, those other expenditures would normally generate sales taxes that now we won't get either. This is not a Republican-Democrat issue, as I said earlier. There's a group called Stop Predatory Gambling. It's a national group. One-third of all their supporters self-identify as Democrat and liberal. Hmm. Only two-thirds as conservative or Republican. This is not about an agenda. This is about what is good for families, and that transcends party lines. It transcends ideology lines. It is about what is good for our fellow man and the kind of culture that we want to foster in a state like Alabama.
Well, Justice Murdoch, you took us right to the wire there, and that is you encapsulated those discussions so well. I mean, I feel like I need to get continuing legal ed credit just for having you on the air. But sir, thank you for being in the fray for so long. Thank you for your stance on this, for the research you've done on it. I know you're down there in the State House even today. Let me ask you this real quickly before we go. What are you hearing right now in just your discussions? Do you think the Senate has the votes to pass it on the Senate floor right now, or are they still working that issue?
You know, Phil, that's a great question. A lot of the senators say, I'm against it, but I'm going to vote to let the people vote, which you and I both know is a red herring because they wouldn't let the people vote if the issue was prostitution or cocaine legalization or something like that. We elect them as leaders to be our leaders and to know more about these matters than we know about them. And so a lot of people are hiding behind that. It's a very, very close vote. There's a lot of confusion down there. And a lot of people are hiding behind this idea that there's some broad support for a lottery, but I think that support is a mile wide and an inch deep. I don't think that is at the heart of anybody's list of the most important issues for their families in Alabama today. And so if people would call down to the State House and ask to speak to their senator tonight, I think they're going to vote on this tomorrow morning. If they would call this evening and in the morning, and I can give you the number that they can call, and just ask to speak to their senator. Give the lady your address, and she will know what senator is your senator. She will switch you to their office, and you can just leave a brief message to ask him, please vote no on the lottery and all other gambling. And those calls add up.
I think I've got that number, but why don't you give it to me anyway, just to make sure, and I'll call it out on the air again later on as well.
Yeah, well, double check me, but I think it's 334-261-0800.
That's what I thought.
334-261-0800.
Okay. Well, Justice Glenn Murdoch, former Supreme Court Justice for the Alabama Supreme Court, thanks for your time today. We appreciate your work. We'll have you back on again sometime soon as this progresses, all right?
Well, thank you, Phil. It's been a real privilege to get to visit with you. Hope to do so again. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Take care. All right. We got to take a break. I ran about a minute long trying to squeeze as much as we could in there. That is some substantive discourse right there. That's a man who has not only been steeped in the discussions while he was on the bench, but he is still in the fray now. Glad we got a chance to have him on the air. All right. Listen, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Great discussion a moment ago. I hope you gathered that there's a whole lot more to this gambling legislation than just what is being touted. Well, we're just trying to give you a chance to be able to vote on it. Really, that's all you're doing? That's all you're doing. Okay. So we send you guys down to Montgomery so you can say, well, we don't like it, but we'll just wait and see what the people... That's called hiding behind your constituents. Now, granted, there are some things that we do, and you have to send it to a vote of the people because it requires a constitutional amendment. I get that. But that's because you want this to happen, and you believe as a legislator you're doing the best thing. I have never seen a bill that was just, well, I don't like anything about this bill, but I'm just going to have to let the people vote on it and see what they want to do. Well, the people voted on it when they voted for you. How about that? How about you just man up? Just grab yourself and go do your voting and do what you got to do. You like it? Vote for it. And then say you like it, all right? Don't stop pretending. You don't like it, then don't vote for it. It drives me crazy when legislators go down there. And I can say this because I was one. Legislators who go down there and then they just kind of like schlep along going, well, I hope nobody gets offended. Well, somebody's going to get offended because you exist, dude. I mean, there are people that hate you just because you're a politician. There are people that hate you just because you're a Republican. There are people that hate you just because you're a Democrat. I mean, it blew my mind how often people just had their prejudgments about whoever was in office. There's good people in office. But we need some of these otherwise good people to stop hiding behind their constituents and pretending this is about letting the people vote. That's what it's about. It's about letting people vote. The people voted when they voted for you, dude. That's all there is to it. Here's some other things in that bill that you may not know, though. And they could have this on the floor as early as tomorrow. It does away with all of the sports betting. That's gone. That's out of the bill. It does away with additional casino licenses, but it will lock into place the people that already have currently approved operations like the dog tracks and stuff like that. It does have the Porch Creek Compact, which is a requirement for the governor to then negotiate gaming on Indian tribal grounds, but there's no limit currently in the bill as to what constitutes the locations. Is it going to say, hey, and by the way, if you guys can get with the Biden Secretary of the Interior to approve more of your lands, you can have one anywhere in the state. There's that. Then it also is going to be as a part of a special election. There was a lot of concern that they're sitting there putting this on the ballot during an election year, And by and large, this was going to wind up. Here's the thing. Democrats have great apathy this year in Alabama. The idea that Democrats are going to be fired up about Joe Biden and fired up about running, you know, a congressional race for congressional district two is not like the Barack Obama year, where everything was about, we got to vote for Barack Obama. The passion, the drive, that's not there. So why would we give them something to go to the polls for? So it will not, if this legislation passes, it will not be on the ballot for the November general election. The legislature decided they would call a special election in September so that it would not cloud the issues for the general election ballot. Okay. I mean, this is, I'll be honest with you, this is a mess. This is a desperation bill. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where you look at it and go, you're just so desperate to pass something, you'll just put anything on paper now. That's what it feels like. Okay, what do I got to have? I'll give you a lottery. Okay, but all right, but I still got to have a gaming commission. I got to grow government, and I still got to tax them really, really high. And okay, Porch Creeks, we'll work with you, but we're not going to limit the amount of space you can put it in. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and have a special election because it's all about politics in the end. I mean, that's where we are right now. It's a sad piece of legislation. All right, we're going to switch gears and go to a better topic. We're going to talk about election integrity, and our Alabama Secretary of State, Wes Allen, will be calling in momentarily. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.